morning. I'll start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege of being able to really come before you, give you our time, especially in the beginning of the day, and to meditate upon you. Lord, truly it's not a duty, but Lord, it's really a privilege and a real blessing. We really get to do this, God, and I just thank you for that. Lord, just come and lead this time. Really help me so that I only say the things that are in your heart and not say other things too much. Lord, let this really be a blessed time to your heart and for us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's reading is March 12th, page 128. So I will read the devotion first. So the passage is Luke 14, 15 to 24. I'll read it. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. And the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave says, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who are invited will taste my dinner.'" And this is a devotion. Have you ever hosted a large party, maybe a wedding, sent out invitations, spent massive amounts of money on food, venue rentals, decorations, invested an incredible amount of time in planning, and then people who had RSVP'd didn't show up? I don't mean just a few, but a noticeable amount. You can imagine the disappointment and even anger you would feel. To Jewish listeners, this parable would have been laughable, ludicrous. No such scenario would ever happen. This banquet would have been the social highlight of the town. In ancient Eastern traditions, if you received an invitation to a meal, it was an extension of friendship, and when you refused that, it was a statement that you no longer wanted friendship with that individual. The excuses given are even more ridiculous. You would rather watch dirt than come to the party, really? The next excuse about oxen is probably a flat-out lie, because you would never purchase that many oxen before trying them out first. Finally, the last excuse would have been absurd, because in ancient culture, the implication that the wife dictates what the husband is and is not allowed to do was unthinkable. This tremendous act of generosity and kindness is returned with indifference and contempt. Jesus is showing his listeners that, as ludicrous as it sounds, that's how we have treated this invitation to eternal life. By God's very nature, he's inviting all people, including the poor, to a wonderful banquet that will take place in Isaiah 25:6. Those who refuse the invitation will be excluded from the feast. Such exclusion is not God's desire. God's invitation is free for all. So for the reflection, what are some of the excuses people make today to refuse the invitation to eternal life? Have you received an invitation from God? Did you accept or refuse? So I was reading and preparing, I was asking God, you know, what I need to share, and then two things came to my mind mainly. So in Luke chapter, in today's passage, especially this part, I'll read it again. "Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there's still room.' The master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" And then I was reading the beginning of this chapter, And then it's very interesting because in the beginning of this chapter, Luke 14, it seems like a related message. So basically, Jesus is telling people, I'll read it. So in the beginning of the chapter, Jesus gives another parable. He also said to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. It is after this parable that Jesus gives another story. And I find it very interesting from today's passage. The master of the banquet invites the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame first. You know, he could have, after the initial people rejected his invitation, he could have invited the poor, you know, the crippled, along with everyone else, you know, on the street. But he doesn't, like at the same time. But he doesn't do that. He invites the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame first. And then, when there is still room left, he invites the regular people. I don't understand why, to be honest. I think probably there's a spiritual analogy here. The kingdom of God, probably like, the kingdom of God is for those who are hungry and humble, and those in need, or rather, those who recognize their need, because really, everyone is in need of the kingdom of God. But especially when we read the beginning of this chapter, it seems like Jesus is re-emphasizing or repeating the same message about the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And again, I do not understand very well, to be honest, why Jesus emphasizes so much. But I think part of the reasons why I don't understand very well is because I don't understand the heart of God very well that goes out to the poor. And one thing that I'm being convicted more and more these days, and from this passage once again, is that God definitely has a special heart for the poor, the crippled, lame, and the blind. And if that is the case, we probably need to pay attention and really think about and evaluate our lives and our hearts to see how much compassion we have for them, and also what we are doing about them, how we are serving them. And so to reflect. So that's one thing. And number two, in the passage, the master of the house says, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so then my house will be full. So I was meditating upon the word compel. Compel is a pretty strong word. It's more than just an invitation, a nice gentle invitation, and then that's it. Jesus used the word compel. I didn't like look up Greek or anything like that, so I don't really know, you know, what it means in Greek. But there's definitely, I mean, definitely at least an element of proactive effort, perhaps even forcing or repeated asking, making people uncomfortable, maybe even annoyed, things like that. There is an element of that. When we read the Gospels and the New Testament, Jesus and his disciples and early Christians really go around everywhere, and wherever they go, they preach the gospel, and many were converted as a result of that. And it really challenges me every time I read the New Testament, every time I see the examples of, you know, people actively sharing the gospel and things like that, because oftentimes I don't, you know. So I ask questions like, am I doing the same? Or am I sharing and or preaching the gospel at all? Not even as much as, you know, like the Bible. And yes, it is absolutely important and essential that we live out our lives as salt and light of the world, so that when the world sees our good work, they'll glorify God, like in the Bible. If we just go around sharing the word but not live it out, it's obviously not going to be effective. It can actually, you know, backlash. But also, living out and being a good example is not the only part. I mean, it's only one part. there has to be an element of going out and preaching as well if you're going to follow the model of the Bible to the full degree, I believe. I have long struggled with this, really, because sometimes it's just so hard, you know, like just the thought of sharing the gospel with somebody, like sometimes, I don't know, used to paralyze me with fear, especially like if it's someone totally new. You know, it's like, what? Unthinkable. But then it happens all the time in the Bible. But then it's like, to me, it's unthinkable. So then it was really hard. Or even my colleagues, you know, like, we're just having regular lunch. And how do I even bring up this topic? You know, it was really, so I struggled with this for a long time. But this year, God really helped me and started to help me so that I can start to take very small steps of faith in this area. But definitely steps of faith. You know, and so basically, just a short story. So I really, like, honestly, this is not my thing. I can't do this. I think the last time I shared the gospel with a total stranger, and I mean like a total stranger, was probably like 10 years ago, you know, like on the street, total stranger. I was just doing, actually, maybe I did like street evangelism, giving out tracts and things like that, but where I sat down with a total stranger, opened up a conversation, and then I shared the gospel was many, many years ago. So I know it's not me. And like, you know, even sharing the gospel to people that I build relationship with, not very often, maybe like, I don't know, less than 3 times a year or twice a year or something like that. But then this year, God really led me to a few books, or this one book by this author and an evangelist named Mark Cahill. And I met him like 10 years ago when I was in college, and I read his books back then. But his books really helped me to realize that it is not that difficult. Like, when we just, he talks about, like, gives very good, you know, practical examples of how to start up a conversation with a total stranger and then gear the conversation toward God. Or spiritual things, you know, it's really not that hard. Basically, it's like, oh, hi, you know, how are you? Nice to meet you. Or what are you reading? I have an interesting question for you. Do you know what happens after death? Or something like that. It goes very quickly, you know, and then it's very effective, you know, like, oh, you're reading about, oh, you're looking to move? Oh, great, yeah, you know, I'd like to have a place too. I have an interesting question for you. What do you think happens after death? Like that, you know, and then they go, what? I never thought about that. And then, well, you know, and then we start the conversation. Very interesting. But the key point is very easy, a lot easier than I thought it was. So his books have really, truly helped me to realize that it's not really that hard to share the gospel. And more importantly, how important it is for us to do, how important it is for us to share the gospel if we truly recognize the saving power of the gospel that we have. It's like having a cure to cancer or AIDS, but not sharing with other people. You know, when we truly think about it, it's kind of like that. So those books are called One Thing You Cannot Do in Heaven, and the other one is called The Watchman by the same author. If you're interested, please let me know. I can give you more information. So those two things I felt got downloaded to me. So I just wanted to share with you. And then... Oh, yeah. So the book has really helped me, and I started to, you know, walk out the steps. So, you know, I just want to encourage all of us to really just ask God, God, you know, these are the areas that seem maybe different, like our lives, from what's written in the Bible about the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, those that are, you know, forsaken, and then also the area of compelling. So, Lord, you know, help us so that... we may change according to your word and not change your word according to, you know, what we want. So I'll read the prayer in the book. Jesus, help us recognize that all of your invitations are worthy of our yes. Forgive us for insulting you by refusing to participate. May we stop making excuses and accept your invitation. And let this invitation go to the ends of the earth, and may we see all people, especially the poor and the oppressed, and experience your glory as we look forward to the final banquet. Amen. So let's pray for our own Pastor Eugene, who wrote this devotional. And let's pray. He enjoys the outdoors, traveling, reading, and is a huge Green Bay Packers fan. So let's pray for him, our own Pastor Eugene. Let's pray for, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you to pray. Let's pray for his health and also protection physically in his soul and spiritually. Let's pray for his family and also just more heart for the Lord, more love for the Lord Jesus and anointing in the ministry. Just as the Holy Spirit leads, let's really pray and really bless our pastor. Morning, Gene's gonna lead us into to a song of worship. Let's pray for the church according to the prayer focus. Let's pray first of all for our brothers and sisters and their family members who are battling cancer. Let's really come together to pray as one body to really pray for them and pray for healing Let's pray. Now let's pray for our brothers and sisters who and their family members who are sick, but also more importantly need salvation. Let's pray according to the list with faith. Continue to pray for people with other sicknesses. As listed, let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Continue. Let's pray for brothers and sisters who are looking for a job and the next step in their career. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray for real faith during this time, Father God. Lord, your word says, Lord Father God, to not worry about what to eat, what to wear, and things like that, Lord God. Lord, it is not a requirement, but Lord, when you say that, Lord Father, you are saying that you are going to take care of us, Father God. Lord, you are giving us a promise, Lord Father, and you said, how much more so will the Father in heaven take care of you? So I pray in Jesus' name, Lord Father God, that our faith will not dwindle, but Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we'll really experience you in a deeper way, Father God, and according to your word, according to your promise, Father God, I ask you to provide, Lord Father, for our brothers and sisters, God, as you said, Lord. I pray for the release and breakthrough, Lord Father God, of that job and the career that you have already in store for them, Father God, for us, oh Lord. And I pray that we will walk into that. Lord, I pray that we'll learn everything that we need to learn during this time, during this important time, Lord God, and be refined so that, Lord Father, when you give us the new thing and the next thing and a bigger thing, Father God, that we'll have the integrity, Lord Father God, to walk out, Lord Father, your influence and your thank you, Father God. Let's continue to pray for our church now. First, let's pray for a mission focus. Today's mission focus is for China. Let's pray for SB Beijing, the Chong family, and mine and Pastor Nate's parents, Pastor Rabba family, Lian Chang, who is here, Edie, Chijihar kids, and the churches there, and also the Xijiang trip that is teaching trip that is coming up at the end of March and beginning of April. Let's pray. Let's pray for our staff, our pastors and pastoral staff. Let's pray for Pastor Sam, and also Pastor Lisa and their family, Pastor Eugene, Pastor Carol, Pastor Sophia, Pastor Nate, Kenny, Mon, Bonnie. Let's really just pray for our staff as the Holy Spirit leads our own pastoral staff. Thank you, Father, for everyone, Lord Father God, in our pastoral staff, God. Lord, I thank you for also for their families too. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for your hedge of protection upon each and every one of them, Father God, and their family members and their children, Elise, Emma, Hannah, and Elijah. Lord Father God, lift them up to you, Lord. I pray they'll fall in deeper love with you, draw near to you. Lord Father God, always, Lord Father God, in the first place, God, become lovers of you, Lord, before pastors, before ministers, God. Lord, I pray for deep, deep, intimate relationship for our pastors and pastoral staff, God. I just thank you so much for them. Lord, we pray for unity, Lord Father, and a heart of humility to submit to our pastors, God, as a church, Lord, and to leadership that you have placed over this church, Lord. And I pray that we will not dwell in any unworthy thoughts, Lord God, but really just honor you, fear you, and love you, Lord. Let's pray for the worship team and the sound and the PowerPoint. Also, let's pray for Kenny and Pastor Nate, who are overseeing this area. Let's pray for heart of worship and serving for everyone, you know, who's in this team, these teams. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Also, lastly, for the house churches that are meeting tonight, Bonham House Church, Kowloon, Lam Kwai Fong, and OPR, please pray for the leaders of these house churches. And let's just really pray for the presence of God and the will of God will be done tonight in these house churches.
Father, we pray for these house churches, God, Bonham, Kowloon, Lam Kwai Fong, OPR, Lord. We pray for the leaders in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to fill us up. The love to be able to love the house church members, God. I pray the love will overflow in this house church, Lord, and I pray the will of God will be done tonight in Jesus' name. Father, it is all you and your doing, Father God. Lord, it is your doing at the end of the day. So, Lord, we ask you to come because we need you so much. So, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, it's going to come. Lord, Father, have your way. Let your kingdom come, God. I pray that people will feel love today, who will feel and receive your love, Father God. Somehow be transformed and drawn near to you, Father. With greater unity and love to flow, Lord, Father, in this house, Lord.
Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for this time of prayer, God, and sharing, Lord. And I pray, yeah, that we will fall in deeper love with you as a result of today. And as we continue to pray, Father, just really come and pour out your grace upon us, God, that we may be able to give you all our hearts and draw near you and fall in deeper love with you and humble ourselves, Lord, Father, before you. Once again, thank you so much. And in Jesus' name, we pray.